Welcome back to our study of Judges. We are in chapter 13, and we had just finished reading about an account that Manoah's wife had with an angel of the Lord, and the angel told her that she would bear a son, and that the son would be different, that he was not to have a razor come on his head, that he would be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and that he would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And when Manoah's wife explained to him her encounter with the angel, she described him as a man of God, and that his countenance was like the countenance of an angel, very terrible. And that phrase there, very terrible, is not how we would typically use very terrible.
No, actually, he's talking about appearance. That his appearance was frightful. Not frightful in the terms of horror, but in of demanding of reverence. In other words, just like if we were to come into the presence of God, it would be frightful. You understand? It's a reverential type fear, and so this is how he appeared to her. But she calls him a man of God, and she said, "Now this version says I didn't ask him." From where he was, and he didn't tell me. When you look at it, it says, basically she's saying, I didn't ask this or that. In other words, she was somewhat awestruck, and I didn't ask him where he was from, and I didn't ask him anything about himself, and he didn't tell me anything about himself is the essence of it.
And so we'll pick up with verse 8. After Manoah's wife had talked to him, it says, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born."
Now note, he's referring to this being as a man, okay, the man of God. I think it's safe to say that she thinks he was a prophet. And from what she conveyed to Manoah, I think he's thinking the same thing. So they're both referring to him as a man of God.
"And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her."
So Manoah, after his wife has told him these things, Manoah goes to God. And he's asking God, would you send this man back to us and let him teach us how we're to rear the child? The boy is the essence of it, okay?
And so the angel came, and she was in the field, but Manoah wasn't with her.
So she was sitting in the field.
Yeah.
There's other words that could be used, but that just may have been a place where she was resting.
"And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am."
Right here is a good narrative if you go into the Hebrew to show you that there's not a different word for wife and woman. Okay? So, his wife ran, the woman, Manoah's wife, okay? She ran when she saw this guy, ran to her husband and said, "This man's appeared to me, who came to me the other day." And it says he arose, and we would say followed his wife, and came to the man of God and said to him, are you the man who spoke unto the woman? Are you the man of God who spoke to my wife? Okay. And he said, I am.
And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?
Now, I like Manoah's response. Mm-hmm. He's not looking for signs or anything else. And the guy says, yes, I'm the one. He said, all right, let your words come to pass. Sort of like Mary, be it unto me according to your word, right? And he said, now, tell us how do we instruct this child? In other words, how do we rear this child? How do we know what to do with him to where that he grows up like you want him to be is the essence of it, okay?
And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe.
Now, here's something that interests me also. The woman is not the Nazarite, but the child in her womb will be the Nazarite. And so in that the woman is feeding the child, she's nurturing the child in her womb, she is actually operating like a Nazarite, not to drink wine, not to eat fruit of the vine, not to touch anything impure. It starts in the womb, okay? Which, I mean, I think it's pretty interesting. And he says, you do everything that I told your wife to do. Let her pay attention to what I said and make sure that she doesn't violate that instruction. Right?
And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord.
Now here's another thing I don't quite understand why they consistently do this in this translation. Where Noah says, oh, wait, let us detain you and let me go get ready a young goat for you, okay, a kid of the goats, okay? And a kid of the goats, that's significant, right? And so this angel says, even if you do detain me, I'm not going to eat your food. Now, why would they translate it bread when it says food and we know that it's meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that because you'll see that done a lot. And I would say most of the time when it's saying bread, the food would be the better word to use. And so he says, I won't, even though you go get the kid, you prepare the kid, and you detain me, I won't eat your food. But you offer that to the Lord as a burnt offering. Manoah did not know this was an angel of the Lord. It plainly states that. He thinks he's a prophet, a man of God, okay?
And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor.
Now, look how positive Manoah is in not doubting this word, but believing this word. Who are you? So when what you have told us comes to pass, we want to give you honor. You understand? So, I mean, his heart's right.
And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?
And that's not a correct translation. The angel of the Lord said, why do you want to know my name? It's wonderful. There's a difference between secret and wonderful, isn't there?
Yes. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground.
And so this angel does not give them a name. And when Manoah takes the kid, note this, that Manoah is the one offering the burnt offering. Okay, it's not like Gideon, where the angel touches the rod and creates the fire. But this is like Manoah is offering this sacrifice on the rock. And it says the angel did wondrously. In other words, this is phenomenal, okay? Because as and Noah and his wife are watching what's occurring, okay?
Okay, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground.
So as this flame is coming up, ascending up toward the sky or the heaven, the angel just goes up in the flame. Now they have this rude awakening. This is not a man. This is God. This is a messenger of God. And so they fall on their face. And here again, it goes back to the teaching like they pull from Moses. No man can see the face of God and live. So this is obviously a supernatural being, you understand? And so, and we'll see this, Manoah, I'm a dead man now. You want to go ahead and read.
But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God."
So now he's forgetting what was just told him. Isn't it amazing how soon we can forget things that God told us? Now, you're going to have a son, and this is the way you're to rear the son. And you said, I'm going to die. Well, how are you going to have the son if you die? Right? We can laugh at him, but we do some of the things just as foolish, you understand. Not thinking about what God has said.
But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these."
So the wife is a wise woman. Manoah says, "I'm going to die. Look, if you die, we can't have a baby." Right?
Yeah.
And so she says, "No, these things that he's told us is going to come to pass, so we're not going to die. We're going to produce a baby." Okay?
And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol.
Now, we're in Judges. We're talking about this child is a judge, or grows up to be a judge of Israel, executing God's judgment on the Philistines who are oppressing the Israelites. And we know he is from the tribe of Dan. And we mentioned earlier that these judges come from different tribes, okay? And so he, as he grows up, and it says from time to time, I'll say it that way, the Spirit of the Lord come on him, move him to go against this enemy, okay?
Chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.
Now, this, don't make a doctrine out of this, okay? But this somewhat amuses me, as the way God uses Samuel, or pardon me, Samson, as a judge of Israel, is that he has this desire for women and not Israelites. But the enemy's women. So he goes to Timnath and he sees this girl down there that he all right, goes back and tells mom and daddy, I want to marry her. And you're thinking about prearranged marriages, there has to be an agreement, and you're basically purchasing a wife, so to speak, okay? And so he goes back and says, I want to. Why do you want to marry a Philistine? Marry an Israelite. You understand? Don't marry some daughter of our enemy. But they didn't know that this was ordained of God. Now, don't make a doctrine out of this. Don't you say God told you to go marry some heathen woman, okay? Or go lay with the prostitute and all this type of stuff. Don't you even get that in your thinking. But it's incredible how God uses this to execute judgment on the enemy. You're talking about somebody who thinks differently than I do and whose ways are higher than mine. I can't imagine this, but this is the way that God is executing judgment on the enemy. And this man is a Nazarite. That's one that's devoted to God. You can explain all that to me, okay? I'll let Heather jump in here anytime she wants to.
Well, I'll say this. No, I won't. Verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
Now remember, he is a Nazarite. Keep that in mind. You can't touch anything unclean. When this lion comes against him with his bare hands, he kills the lion. So now he has touched a dead animal, right? And he's not telling mom and daddy what's occurred.
Verse 7.
Note that here again. Note the Spirit of the Lord came on him to do.
Yes, that's good.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
So he's violated this Nazarite thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, when he goes down, he says, woman, I'll give. This is a woman I want to marry, you understand? So this is sort of an engagement type thing. In other words, now she's selected, okay? And when he goes back and he sees this honey, he just takes it out and starts eating it, and then he takes and gives it to his mom and daddy, and they don't know the difference, you understand?
Verse 8. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him.
And this is his wedding party. This is his groomsmen here.
Yeah.
His 30 companions, okay? So this is a big festival, you understand, that they're having. The engagement, the agreement of marriage, and all this type thing.
And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments.
So Samson sort of played a game here. You know, he sees a way to get ahead because he knows nobody's going to understand the riddle. And so he puts this riddle out. If you can answer this, and he's got 30 guys to one, you understand, I'll give all of you the raiment and the 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. But if you can't answer the riddle, then y'all have to give it to me. Okay?
Verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle.
Now, we can explain the riddle because we know the end of the story, right? We know, or the beginning of the story, we know what happened. They didn't know what happened. So, you know, 3 days, we look at 7 days. At the end of 7 days, they've got to come up with something. It's going to cost them. And so they sort of push in the panic button here. You know, we can't figure this thing out. So we got to do something.
And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so?
No, think about this. They're not officially married, but yet she's called his wife. Once that deal is made, that deal is made. She is his wife, but the marriage has not yet been consummated. Okay? And so they come, these guys come to her. All right, tell us a riddle. If you don't tell us a riddle, we're going to kill you. We're going to burn your house. We're going to do this to you. You look, you just invited us to your wedding feast to rob us, is the essence of it, okay?
And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee?
She's pulling this woman thing now, right? Any women relate to this? Huh? You're keeping a secret from me. You haven't told me this. And she hasn't told him that these guys have come at her. So she's keeping a secret from him.
Right?
He said, I haven't even told my mom and daddy. So should I tell you? Don't get mad at me, women. Just stay with me.
And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people.
Now let me ask you this. She's accusing him of not loving her. But she loves herself more than she loves him.
Right.
You see this? She's accusing him of what she's guilty of. And because she keeps pressing and pressing and pressing, this is manipulation.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that this is a major, major, major problem today.
Mm-hmm.
especially in this Western culture, to where there's two ways to dominate. One is through aggressiveness. One is through manipulation. Both are getting their way, and both are self-centered, and both are contrary to the will of God. Manipulation is just as wrong as the domination aggressively, you understand. And so she nags him to the point that he tells her the riddle. Right?
We have the saying of...
You going to defend this?
No. Honesty is the best policy. Do you think how this... We know what happens in the end here. But how this might have been different had she gone to her husband and said, this is the position I'm in. I need help, please. And if we would approach things openly, I think we would get different results that would be more positive. The problem is that you see in so many relationships is, as Pete would say, you know, manipulation and dominance, but at the core of it, it's a lack of honesty. It's I'm going to think about myself before I think about my spouse. And that never ends well. It just never ends well.
Communication is wonderful when it occurs. And I say communication. I didn't say argument and fussing and all that type of stuff. I'm talking about discussing things. Look, I'm in a difficult place. And my life's threatened, and so is my family's life threatened. It's all over this riddle. So, what am I to do? You're the protector. Right?
Verse 18, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle.
How do you like that terminology,
yeah,
ladies?
That's not nice, is it?
Huh?
Could have used a different word.
This is yeah, this is an idiom, okay?
Yeah.
You get the message, okay? In other words, you violated me. If you had not gone to my wife, you would have never known this riddle.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've manipulated her or used fear tactic against her in order to find out this riddle.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house.
Now, he's keeping his word. I mean, he's made a wager here, okay? He's made a bet. I'm betting you can't tell me my riddle. And if you do, then I'm going to pay off. And he does that. How does he do it? He goes and kills the Philistines to get their garments. Judging the enemy, okay? Judgment against the enemy. He comes back and he does exactly what he says. He pays off, but he is so upset with that woman that he doesn't hang around to consummate the marriage. He leaves.
But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend.
Wow. So.
That's rough.
Here's his wife, all this that they've agreed over, now she's given to the best man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about it. Go
Chapter
ahead.
Chapter 15, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in.
So after thinking about it for a while, you know, he gets over the initial anger of the thing. So all right, I'm gonna go to my wife. I'm gonna bring a peace offering, you know, the kid. I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna consummate the marriage. Well, when he gets there, the father says, "No, you're not."
And
okay,
he's
already given her to somebody else.
Yeah. Her father said, "I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her."
So the father, look, I didn't think you wanted to carry through with this thing. Besides, her younger sister's prettier than she is anyway. Just take her.
Poor woman. Okay. Verse 3. And Samson said concerning them, "Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do dare a do them a displeasure." And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails.
Now, this is absolutely incredible. And now he's upset again.
Yeah.
They done made him mad again, okay? So he catches 300 foxes and ties their tails together. You know, I can't imagine them just standing still saying, "Okay." I think he's pretty much of a man if he gets 300 ties of tails together, you understand?
And put a torch in between the tails.
So, 150 torches. Yeah, you're talking about lighting your fire. That'd get those foxes in a hurry, right? Yeah. And he turns them loose through the wheat field.
Mm-hmm. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the stalks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion."
All right, hold on just, if you would, Michaela, look that up on where it says corn. And see if it's corn or grain. I'm thinking grain. When he set the brands on fire, let them go into the standing grain of the Philistines. And is it grain or shocks? It's grain. Okay. And so he's burning up the crop. Okay. You understand that's our livelihood. So we're talking about money now. We're talking about their food and all this. So he's doing some damage.
And Samson said unto them.
And they came, and what did they do? When they found out who did it, now they got so mad that they came, and this is interesting. They did exactly to this woman what these companions threatened to do if she didn't disclose the riddle, and they burnt her and her father with fire. She was a loser all the way around.
And Samson said unto them, "Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of Rock Etam.
So, all right, you made him mad again. All right, now, I'm gonna take matters into my hand. You done this to me. You killed this woman. You gave her away. Now you killed her. So I'm gonna avenge myself of you. And he said he smote them hip and thigh. Here again, I think we're using idioms here. Okay, with a great slaughter. Now we don't know exact numbers. Okay. But we're talking about one man killing a lot of Philistines, and he went and dwelt or resided, stayed, and hid, whatever, in the Rock of Eden.
And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi.
Now remember, the Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. So the Israelites are trying to be politically correct, okay? I'm talking about the leaders of Israel.
And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock, Edom, and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so I have done unto them."
So here his own people, they side with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it? And so 3,000, think about this, go to get one man. He must have a pretty good reputation, you understand? And I said, don't you know that the Philistines rule over us? We've got to keep them happy, right? We can't do anything to upset them. He said, "Well, I did to them what they did to me. They did me wrong, I did them wrong. And our time's up. We're going to have to stop right there."
Okay.
So you guys can read ahead. See if I made any mistakes tonight. Okay. There's a letter, "I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you." Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.